Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and investigators are still sorting through the interviews and data to determine the exact cause of the crash of Asiana Airlines Flight 214 as it attempted to land at San Francisco International Airport on Saturday. But there are early indications of pilot error and of evacuation problems in the crash that injured 180 and killed two people. Andy Pastor, a senior special writer for The Wall Street Journal, who covers aviation and space, is following the story, and he joins me now. Hi, Andy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be with you.
So what is the best information as to what actually caused the crash? We know the plane was going too slow as it approached the runway, so it was too low and hit a seawall as it came in. But the real question, I think, is why did those things happen?
So as in most crashes, it's a rather complicated sequence of events. It's never just one cause. It looks as though there were some questions about the automation and the auto throttle, the system that sets the throttles automatically in this aircraft. The investigators are trying to determine really one of three things. Was the were the automated systems properly engaged? Were they inadvertently disconnected at some point in the flight and the pilots didn't realize it? Or was there some mechanical problem or a computer problem which prevented the systems from working? Essentially, those issues are all in play. But at the bottom of this, when you cut through all the complications and the automation discussion and so on, it's really a very simple equation. Any pilot that's on final approach to an airport is supposed to be watching the speed. And it's absolutely clear from the interviews that these pilots have had with the board and from Safe National Transportation Safety Board and from what's been public that they simply didn't monitor their speed. So that's the basic cause. And, of course, there's some other things behind it as well.
Although you wrote that the pilots' union is accusing the NTSB of prematurely releasing data.
Well, that's right, and I think there's a lot of posturing going on, as happens in many of these crashes, but I don't think that there's any doubt at this point from what's been publicly available that the pilots simply didn't track the speed as they should have, and if they had been tracking it, the plane was working perfectly well. They should have been able to do a go-round, climb away from the airport without crashing. I think that will be proven and stay sort of a basic fact throughout this investigation.
And still, one of the newest pieces that I heard today was that the pilot now says he was blinded by a flash as he approached the runway. Any idea what that might have been or whether that might have affected the error in judgment that you were just describing?
Well, I have no idea what that is, but much more importantly, the chairman of the safety board yesterday, Deborah Herzman, said they have no idea what that is. And, of course, they'll look at it, but from my vantage point, I don't see that as being a major factor in this accident. Now, it could be, and we could be very surprised, but everything that has come out so far indicates that it's a totally normal approach on a beautiful day in with sunshine, light winds, no air traffic control issues, no other planes close to him that he had to try to maneuver to avoid, not an unusual approach, not an unusually steep approach. Everything was totally normal, and the transmissions to the tower were totally normal until things started to go bad about 20 seconds or so before touchdown.
And we've heard about the lack of experience of this particular pilot in flying this particular plane, the Boeing 777, and landing it in San Francisco. And is it an unusually small amount of experience? I guess pilots have to start flying and landing at some point.
Well, that's exactly right, Brian. I mean, I've talked to lots of pilots about this and safety experts, and yes, of course, he didn't have a lot of time the pilot flying did not have a lot of time on this aircraft, but as you very well put it, everybody starts somewhere. So really the question is, and what the safety board is looking at, has to do with what kind of previous training, what kind of simulator training, what kind of ground training did the pilot have in order to put him into the cockpit of a plane with passengers and start flying it in his early hours of that flying that jet. So I think that there are questions about training, but it's not so much on the number of hours he had, but rather the training he had leading up to the hours. Those are actual flight hours in aircraft, so he should have had simulator time and ground training before that.
And are there national differences here? Is he Korean and trained in Korea, and maybe that's lax compared to the United States? Is that an issue at all?
I think they're looking at the training, and they're looking at the Korean system, at the ASEAN system. There are some minimum international standards which airlines adhere to, but there are differences from country to country and from airline to airline. But ASEAN has had a fairly good, really a very good safety record in the past few years, and so they're still looking at those issues. They're looking at whether there was a senior captain, whether the other pilots were willing to speak up and tell the senior captain there was a problem. So it's still early on in the investigation, and they will look at all of that stuff.
In context, aviation is so safe, commercial aviation. This was the only commercial jet crash in the United States in the last 4 years. And, of course, what happened here is sad and it's terrible. Two people died, 180 people were injured. But I think a really important question to ask is, are there implications from this accident for other flights in what the investigators have found? Or do we just look at this as, you know, a once-in-a-blue-moon horrible thing that doesn't actually have any policy or behavior implications?
That is the big question in every crash now, because there are so few of them. And I think the bottom line is every crash has some lessons and every crash has some implications. And clearly, I think there are two big ones in this crash so far. There may be more, but number one, automation, the way pilots use automation, the way they understand automation, particularly what happens when you switch from an automated system to a hand flown system, which is what they did in this aircraft. They were flying a visual approach, flying it by hand. So I think that's a very important point. But secondly, which I think hasn't gotten enough attention yet, is the evacuation issue. This crew and these passengers were incredibly lucky, because the fire did not start until after the plane had basically been evacuated, and it spread relatively quickly. This crew decided to keep all the doors closed and not deploy any of the slides for a full 90 minutes. The accident sequence was, 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The accident sequence was 30 seconds. They were sitting in the plane for 90 seconds on the tarmac. And there'll be lots of arguments about whether that was smart, the reasons not to evacuate immediately because lots of people get injured. But I think from an evacuation standpoint, that's going to be one of the big lessons. This turned out incredibly well because there was no fire until almost everyone got off. But it could have been much different, and we could be talking about a huge number of fatalities if the same sequence had happened and the crew had made the same decision, but there had been a pretty bad fire.
Did you hear some of those 911 calls that they released today? What struck me was the nonchalance of some of them. Hi, I'm on an airplane and we just crashed. Could you send someone, please? I could hardly believe it.
Well, and you can see people walking off with their luggage. So, there's some shock involved, and also it's kind of the digital world where everyone's in touch with everybody all the time.
And there was a big front of plane versus back of plane difference in the experience that people had, right?
Well, that's right. But if you look at it, the entire tail of the plane had been severed from the force of the crash. And, I mean, from the outside, I think people will be asking, wouldn't you want to open some of the doors, even if you don't deploy the slides, but just to look around, to get ready for the emergency crews to come and to sort of get a better handle on what happened and what's going on outside? That, to me, I think, is one of the puzzling elements here.
Well, overall, we should still be a lot less afraid when we get in an airplane and a lot more afraid when we get in our cars, statistically. But still, this is a sad tragedy, and there are lessons to be learned. So thank you for laying them out. Andy Pastor, senior special writer for The Wall Street Journal, who covers aviation and space. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, not in my backyard. In our backyard, IOBI will explain why we bring this phrase up on the show today in a minute.